Welcome everyone to our FA Leagues and Clubs podcast, looking at the topic of money matters. Throughout the season, we've been delivering a number of webinars on a variety of topics, ranging from community engagement to marketing and communications. But with the return of the Premier League back on our screens and the restrictions of football activity easing, we wanted to continue to still share important information just in a more convenient way for you. The first podcast series of its kind for league and club volunteers will look into the topic of money matters, where over the next 4 weeks we'll cover a basic overview of club finances, the way in which to manage money, how to work with budgets and taxes which clubs should be aware of. Each podcast will be shared with those who have registered their interest every Wednesday at 8 p.m. For anyone who is listening on this on another channel and hasn't signed up to receive these podcasts directly, please visit thefa.com/get-involved/player/clubs-and-leagues. So by way of introduction, my name is Danielle and I am the National Club Services Manager here at the Football Association. And I'm delighted today to be joined by James from Sporting Assets and Derek Pearson, one of our FA Club consultants, but also a previous chairman of a youth club in Essex. James, I'll start with you just to give us a small introduction of who Sporting Assets is and what your role is with the company.
Sure, thanks Danielle. So Sporting Assets, we work across all different sports. We work at all levels with governing bodies, with funders, but spend a lot of time working with clubs and grassroots organisations. We're often working with volunteer committees and boards and groups who are managing money and assets and taking on projects in and around this space. So it's a good opportunity to share some of the experiences and best practice tips that we've seen. Previously, so I'm a senior consultant there, and previously I've spent the best part of 10 years primarily working in grassroots football, but also supporting semi-professional clubs and professional clubs too.
Brilliant, thanks James. And Derek, I know today you'll be talking with your FA club consultant hat on, but also as a grassroots volunteer who's been in the game for over 15 years. Do you want to give a small overview of your role as a consultant here with us at the Football Association, as well as your time with Forest Glade Youth, now more recently known as Hashtag United Youth?
Yes, of course. Thanks, Danielle. Yes, I got involved in grassroots football 28 years ago now, where we started with nine boys. We are now a total of 600 members, so right across the piece. And the clubs continue to grow. So over the last year, we merged with a couple of other local clubs and now known as Hashtag United, which is a great opportunity for the club to grow. Last year, I was asked by the FA to join the team of consultants. And I thoroughly enjoyed this year actually working with clubs outside of my responsibilities at Forest Glade. It certainly taught me a lot about the game. It certainly taught me a lot about people outside of the club as well. So, yes, that's a little bit background about myself.
Brilliant. Thanks, Derek. Thanks, James. So it's important at this stage to let our listeners know that neither myself or any of my guests on this series of Money Matters are working professionally in the finance industry. All the information shared with you today is basic terminology and processes with added club experiences in this area. If you do need any further advice, you should look to source this from the relevant professional services. So without further ado, let's get started. James, it would be really great if you could just kickstart us off with a quick 2-minute summary of what we recapped on the first podcast, which looked at a basic overview of club finances.
Sure. Yes. As you say, Danielle, it was all about really introducing people to club finance. And it's pitched, as all the podcasts are, hopefully in an uncomplicated way for committee members who aren't accountants, who just need to have a solid understanding of the terminology and best practice, really. So we, the aim really of that podcast was to those committee members to better understand their club accounts, so they feel confident to review and ask appropriate questions at committee meetings. And also, I suppose, get a feel for, you know, the sort of things that any business, but particularly clubs, could why they might fail. So thinking about cash flow, so when money actually arrives in the bank account, and how to mitigate those risks. Thinking about things such as, you know, overspending and management and where there's changes during the year and how to adapt. And then really we just introduced the main areas of accounting really that people would come across. So, you know, the differences between an income and expenditure account, or profit and loss as people know it, the cash flow statement, and the balance sheet, which shows the assets and liabilities and how they're broken down into current and long term. So it's a useful kind of entry point, I think, to this series. And yeah, recommend people to perhaps start with that one if they haven't done already, and then work through the others.
Brilliant. Thanks, James. And obviously today's topic is all about kind of managing money. And we've definitely put on here it's an uncomplicated overview for club committee members, so no pressure. But can you just tell our listeners today what kind of some of the outcomes will be and what we're looking to cover in today's topic of managing your money?
Sure. So, yeah, we're looking to cover really the financial responsibilities that committee members have. Although it's quite a dry subject, naturally that will then get us into the differences in terms of the way your club, whether it's incorporated legally or not. But safe to say that there's responsibilities no matter what. It's just there might be some extra external commitments that are in place. So it's just explaining those so people kind of feel comfortable. We'll then get into a bit more of that, the actual management. So, you know, thinking about internal controls that the committee can put in place to protect them and understand what's going on and mitigate some of the risks. So think about, you know, what they might look like, why they're important. So that, yeah, ultimately the committee feel like they understand, you know, what responsibilities they've got, and also they feel more confident that they've got control about, you know, what's going on in terms of money and finance at the club.
So James, you mentioned there around unincorporated associations. What are some of the responsibilities for committee members from a financial perspective if they are operating currently as an unincorporated association?
Sure. So, you know, lots and lots of clubs will be unincorporated associations, which in kind of legal speak means there isn't a separate legal entity. It means that rather than where clubs are incorporated, they'll be entering into agreements or contracts with the name of that legal entity. Unincorporated associations will be doing, well, if there are any contracts, we'll be doing it as individuals. So there isn't that shared liability, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's the wrong thing to be. You know, actually, most clubs, given their size and their responsibility, will probably be absolutely fine continuing as unincorporated body. So, but also what it's important to still realise that, you know, there's still going to be money to be looked after. There might be some equipment or assets as well. And there's probably going to be a committee structure or board structure, just no matter how your club is legally, whether it's legally incorporated or not. And, you know, your committee is there. They're entrusted to look after money. And there's a phrase which often gets brought up, which is fiduciary duties, and that's really just saying, well, actually, you're as an individual, well, a committee takes care of that money, and as an individual, you need to be aware that your responsibility lies with that collective rather than any personal gain that you might take from that position. So, you know, you can't profit from it. You need to be aware of conflicts of interest that might be in place, and some of these can be managed by having policies and rules, but I suppose the main point really is that they still exist. So it does get a little bit more complicated in law, but you know, it's still definitely, you know, something that a committee member needs to be aware of. You know, and there's lots of case law which will explain what might happen if problems did arise. You know, as I said, there's some simple things that you can put in place as well around, you know, things you might already have, like an expenses policy, maybe a conflict of interest policy, or just some extra rules that can help, you know, explain maybe some of those potentially difficult situations in terms of the role of the committee as opposed to the individual. And then kind of moving into incorporated clubs. So this will be a club where, as I say, they're incorporated, there's a legal entity there. It could be a range of different structures. So it might be a company limited by guarantee, a company limited by shares, or a society, a community interest company. You know, there's lots of different options. And just to add a bit of complication, each depending on what you are, there'll be different responsibilities in terms of what you need to do in terms of your financial, particularly around your financial reporting, maybe around the level of accounts that you prepare, how you submit them, and any other detail that might need to go with them. But it, you know, given the types of clubs that probably be on this call, that, you know, we're not talking about you know, listed companies on a stock exchange that need to produce very detailed audits and statements every 6 months. We're talking about you know, possibly a simple set of accounts which needs to be submitted to Companies House alongside, you know, a couple of other bits of paperwork each year. But it is still worth remembering that, as well as you know, your commitment to your members and your volunteers and how you work as a committee, there's an external commitment as well if you're incorporated. So it's just making sure at the very least you understand whether you're incorporated or not, and if you are, the process of you know, that extra level of reporting and who takes the lead on it, because all the committees or directors should be involved to a degree.
Derek, before we joined the call and the recording today, we had a quick chat around kind of Forest Glade as it was before obviously the new merge, and you mentioned that actually in the last 15 years of Forest Glade kind of being created, that you remained an unincorporated association. Did you ever consider shifting to an incorporated association from more of a financial element for that security, to make sure that different areas are covered as mandatory rather than best practice at all?
Yeah, we certainly have. And I think if you look at a club building of a club, as we have really, as I said earlier in the introduction, we've started with a very small population of members. We've now grown significantly. So my advice would be that on a regular basis, you do need to actually consider how your balance sheet is managed across the club. Does it make sense to take up the charitable route? Does it not? What does that require of your membership? And as James mentioned, really one size doesn't fit all. It's imperative that you apply the right criteria for your club. What's also important though is to ensure that your committee members are fully aware of their commitment to the club. and an understanding of not just the balance sheet, their role as a committee member as well. Because very quickly, and I use an example at Forest Glade where, you know, we have a lease with a local farmer, so that requires a commitment from the committee. Whether they understand that very clearly or not is an important point, and I think we all sign these pieces of paper as we go along the road. But continually reminding your members or your committee members that they are really accountable and responsible for some of these contracts that are being signed as a non-incorporated club, really. And internal controls and the policies that exist are imperative. The other thing I'll mention about that is it's no good producing a control in year one when in year two it's out of date. And quite often as a club, we forget about the policies that sit in the archive. In we need to make sure that someone is responsible for that side of the club as well, and particularly the accounting side of how you manage it. So, yes, to answer your question more directly, we have thought about the change of structure, and we'll continue to do that. And particularly with the merger, we will actually dust the papers down again and reconsider that we've got the right structure in place.
That is really important, and thanks for that insight, Derek, because you won't be alone in terms of being an unincorporated club. That's the biggest makeup currently of our grassroots clubs here at the Football Association. I think it's important to just re-highlight that if a club is looking at what options are out there, there is a really good help guide called Club Structures. This can be picked up via the FA.com or via our legal partner team, who are called Muckle LLP. And there's some really good clear guidance there around what different options there are, what are the requirements, etc. So as much as this topic today isn't around legal structures, it definitely coincides very nicely with the financial element of a club. And I think Derek made a really good point there around responsibilities of committee members, regardless of which structure your club operates in. And James, obviously, we are on the topic of money matters. So what are some of the financial responsibilities to make sure clubs are looking after the money well?
Sure. So as sort of following on really from the conversation you just had, I think the... As I say, there's a split here in terms of if you're incorporated, that you know some of these things you definitely will have to do, and then if you're unincorporated, some of these things that we'll talk about now are might just be best practice ideas or you know, it's not something that there's that external reporting or body that requires you to do it. So, you know, as we said before, first of all, it's very important that you as a committee member understand, whether you're incorporated or not and what your responsibilities are. But, you know, moving through here, you know, so if you are incorporated, typically, then there'll be a responsibility for the directors to or the company to have adequate accounting records. So, you know, with reasonable accuracy that they can declare the club's financial position. That the annual accounts are prepared, and again there's as I said before there's different detail depending on what legal entity you are, and you know I would imagine pretty much everyone will be will be a small business, so again there's different thresholds in terms of turnover and what's on your balance sheet and maybe number of employees about the level of accounting that you need to prepare. So it will be certainly less rigorous than it would be for a bigger company that employs lots of people. So in terms of the accounting records, making sure you've got entries and descriptions of money received and paid and a record of assets and liabilities. Which is important, we'll come on to a little bit later. Then there's the responsibility of safeguarding the club's assets. So say, thinking back about that responsibility that as a director that you're looking after assets and which includes money on behalf of other people. So there's protection and maintenance of physical and non-physical assets, and minimization of losses too. And again, something I'll come on to in a minute, more around the actual making sure you've got appropriate internal controls to protect those assets. So, you know, the obvious one being money, and how you know, the flow of money is efficiently and effectively managed within the club. You know, we hear more and more clubs that are kind of going as cashless as possible, which has got a number of benefits, and one of those will be around the mitigating risk, really, of that money being lost or going missing for another reason. And then, yeah, as I say, there's the preparing the annual accounts, which, again, as I say, it depends. If you're a company, then you need to prepare that at the end of your financial year, and you'll have a certain period in which you then need to fill out your annual return and register that with Companies House. There's a similar system in place if you're a cooperative or community benefit society. And then there's other detail that's required alongside the accounts for example, the Charities Commission, and if you're a community interest company. So again, it's the main thing is you understand what you are if you're incorporated, and then just understand, even if you're not preparing them, and it might be that, you know, if you're at this level, then there's a fair chance that someone might be preparing that audit separately, but at least knowing those, you know, what those commitments are, and the dates that they're due, because, you know, there can be fines, there are public records, so people can look up your company or society or charity and see, you know, whether you're actually submitting on time and the information that's being submitted. So yeah, as I say, just being aware of that extra, if that exists, what that extra responsibility is, and actually, you know, it is extra work, and I understand why people might you know, get a bit frustrated by it, but, you know, as well as some of the more kind of protective good practice elements of doing it, you know, it is also an opportunity in terms of your kind of external profile to show that, yeah, you know, actually there's a public record of how you're managing your club, and, you know, if you're beyond just a company, there's an opportunity to talk about, you know, an obligation actually to talk about some of the activity you do as well. So, you know, as Danielle said, there's a whole host of information in the FA, in that guidance book, about whether you should or shouldn't incorporate, which will help you.
Derek, some of the pieces that James mentioned in terms of adequate accountancy records, and ones that are potentially mandatory for different legal structures, are any that you do as best practice, taking into account that you're an unincorporated association at Forest Glade?
Yeah, I think it starts off really by analysing your internal controls. And as you move into a world of technology, one example that springs to mind here is online banking. And online banking in itself adds additional challenges to how you manage your bank accounts. And it's important that you do set up, you know, a control around that process, that unless you get your bank account set up correctly, one person, in effect, can move your funds around without you actually knowing. So making sure you've got internal controls around that, it's imperative. And checkbooks, you know, we talked about a cashless society or cashless club. Checkbooks that exist in a lot of clubs, and some clubs might not even know who's still got them. And I think it's again, checking that you've gone through that process, you've ripped up your checkbook, or you know who's signing them. You're making sure that requires two signatures, et cetera, et cetera. So reanalyzing what you used to use can can be a good thing because, again, as James mentioned, the opportunity for someone having a checkbook in their drawer that's already been pre-signed, which occasionally I know clubs do, could then run off with the money. So I think the control aspect of all of this is imperative, and ensuring that you've got it to hand, really.
James, can you just allude a little bit more on some of the internal controls? Derek's mentioned a few, but I'm sure that there are some other controls that clubs may be able to kind of look into to just make sure that they're doing things in the right way to really look after their money.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it covers a broad spectrum, really, when we talk about internal controls. But, you know, we're thinking about, as well, you know, making sure that actually the financial information we're receiving is accurate and reliable, so we can make decisions on it. Then there's the, as we talked about before, the compliance of any financial and operational requirements, whether incorporated or not. There's that prevention and detecting potentially fraudulent behaviour, or at least leaving yourself at risk to it, as Derek just mentioned. And yeah, just generally kind of helping the club, I suppose, achieve its objectives. So, you know, bringing that to life a little bit, you know, it could be a physical thing, like we talked about the checkbook, but it could be just storing on bank cash in a secure, you know, making sure it's a secure location. You know, simple things. I know it's straightforward, but you know, when you do big, if you've got a big fundraiser going on and there's money lying around, what's that system to make sure that you know how much you're raising and the money is safe? But then you get into you know, some of the other areas as well. So thinking about spending and authorization. So with the banks, so. One thing that's you know, if people were interested in, is worth a read, is Sport England and UK Sport developed a code of governance for sport, which you know does go into a lot of detail and covers you know, all the way up to governing bodies, but it also has a tier one which talks about where groups are receiving public money and best practice in a number of areas, and there's some of the financial management controls is in there. So it talks about having two independent signatories for payments, and also, you know, you might want to have payment limits, or at least where you require more signatories, you know, so obviously that'll be dependent on the size of your club, but you know, if people are signing off £5,000 plus without extra accountability, that could get your club into trouble very quickly if things went wrong. But then there's, you know, there's more just segregating the duties. So thinking about, if, as I say again, if it's cash, but it doesn't have to be cash, it's just having different people to collect, to record and check income and cash and payments, yeah, likewise, you know, it depends if, you know, for example, bar receipts, making sure that there's a system with segregation and at least they're cashed up daily so that you're constantly mitigating your risk. But yeah, again, there's lots of good accounting systems, lots of good online technology out there now which can help and make life easier, and also make things a lot more cashless. In fact, probably completely cashless if you really wanted to. And the last area really is thinking more about management controls. So it is that budget that we're going to talk about in the next session, but thinking about, thinking ahead in terms of what you're likely to spend and likely income, and how you then monitor that as a group and monitor it regularly so that if things do start to go wrong, you know, that you can actually do something about it before it's too late. Simple things like actually who's receiving financial information on the committee? You know, what type of format is it in? Is it clear? Is it relatively up to date? Because if you're asking people to, as I said before, to take responsibility for this money, the fiduciary duties, then, you know, you need to invest time and, if necessary, money to make sure that people are able to make decisions with information, financial information that is true and up to date. So, you know, if someone consistently isn't paying, a bill, or I don't know, maybe some costs have gone up that haven't been picked up, you know, that might have a real impact on the viability of the club. So you need to make sure that there's a, you know, appropriate system in place where you can receive and review that information. I think might have alluded to this a little bit earlier. You can go, a lot of unincorporated associate, they might do this already, but you know, there might not be, it depends what each club's rules say, but it might be that the accounts are just prepared by the person who's responsible for that part of the club, you know, the treasurer, and that's not necessarily to say they do a bad job and they're not doing it for the right reasons, but you know, actually, you know, when you get into say for example being a charity, you know, actually the best practice is around having independent examinations, which means that someone independent is going to be verifying and checking the accounts. So again, segregation of duties, but beyond the committee, actually someone who's independent who does it, and that becomes, you know, it's not a replacement for a full audit, but it gives an extra level of accountability to the accounts at the end of the year. And that again is something that is mentioned in the Sporting Bin Code of Conduct. So that's probably worth a look for clubs, particularly if they're, you know, they're getting more income, or they've, you know, they're asset owning, or they're incorporated, or they've got aspirations to apply for public money, is to look at that the good governance code, which you can see on Sporting Men's website.
There's some really good internal controls there, James, and Derek, I know, again, prior to the call, you mentioned a few that you've done previously at Forest Glade. Is there any ones in particular that you've adopted as you've grown to be a fairly big size club? I know James mentioned around kind of contactless payment, and you mentioned around online banking. Is that been an internal control that's been kind of brought forward because of the growth of your club?
I don't think necessarily. I think that it's good practice anyway. I think that's a really important point to get out here. It doesn't matter the size of the club. You know, you could lose your money very quickly if you haven't got the right controls in place. So I don't think we've had to add anything in a way that we control the bank account because of the size of the club. But we will, apart from probably, as James mentioned, you know, looking at limits. So the limits of people that are authorised to sign off on certain things may have to change, or it may have to go in a slightly different direction for authorisation. But that's really, really something that you can put into place as the club grows. But general controls, internal controls, accountability, responsibility, really should not matter, shouldn't change because of the size of the club.
And I think that's really, really good information, because there will be clubs listening today and leagues as well, that some will be big in size, some will just be on the beginning of their journey setting up in their local community. But I think, as you've both quite rightly mentioned, that there is a lot of good elements in here that don't necessarily need to be tied into your legal structure. There are some really good best practice elements that can be adopted if you think and feel that that's right for your club. So, James, we spoke about internal controls, but how would clubs and committee members actually implement them?
Okay, so I think it's, you know, it, it it's an extra thing to do, and I know that's always difficult. You know, the day-to-day is just is so demanding of running a club. But yeah, as we said before, it's time well spent. It really, I would suggest, requires a bit of time out to just think through the different areas. So think about your assets, if you've got any, which includes cash. Think about income and think about expenditure, and then break down, just think through, well, what are the risks related to each one? So just to give an example, the obvious one with assets, so if we're talking about cash, it could be stolen. How can you mitigate that? You know, as we said, is it to be more cashless, or is it about just making sure that as soon as it's received, it's stored safely? Is it about having other people to check and verify the cash as it comes in? You know, in terms of income, is membership collected and sat on the side and forgotten about and then lost? Where are your different streams of income? What are the risks attached to each one? What can you put in place to protect each? And you know, even just simple things, as I say, it doesn't have to be a kind of criminal offence. It could just be someone pays for a pitch and it's the wrong amount. And actually, if it's the same person who's always in control of booking the pitch and no one notifies and you're not, you haven't got the rest of that structure in place where you're able to see what your spend is on pitch hire in a regular format, you know, it might just go unnoticed. So it's just thinking through those, you know, particularly income and expenditure, but and assets, about what could happen, and then working through each one. So how can you mitigate those? And you know, ultimately you might end up with a kind of risk register type document, which just breaks down each different area. And it's something that that can be then reviewed by the committee from time to time, and graded as well. So, you know, some of them are probably going to be a greater risk than others, and might need to be reviewed or looked at more regularly. Pulling all that into a little risk register, there's plenty of templates out there, simple ones, which is something then that the committee can review, update and add in new parts as and when.
Just quickly jumping in here, Daniel, to add something else to the internal controls, I think what it's also imperative is that these accounts are reconciled to the outside world. And I mean reconciled to the statement that's coming in from the bank. So you can run all these numbers across the committee and they think we've got £50,000 in the account, but really sitting in your bank account might only be 10. So that internal reconciliation that needs to be done with the statement is really quite key. And I would suggest that requires once a quarter sign off by someone outside the treasurer. Yeah. So just looking at the two numbers to verify that they look the same or roughly thereabouts.
Yeah. And actually, you know, if you've got other, you know, good practice in place, like you're regularly looking at the board, or regularly looking at your cash flow and things, then, you know, if something awful is happening and someone, let's say you got a bar, and you should be able to pick up that actually, well, bar takings are constantly down, you know, there's a pattern. It's the more the you've got the story behind the numbers really, and where you've got data available that can be shared with the committee, the easier it is to pick up some of these problems.
Go on, James, I think you were just about to go there, sorry, I nearly jumped in.
Yeah, well, I suppose we could move forward on thinking about solvency, which, you know, kind of almost coming on from what Derek's saying there about in a different way, perhaps that ultimately, like, you know, the money that you're looking at in your account, I suppose it isn't enough. But, you know, what does solvency mean? Because this is an important part of being a director. And, you know, we do hear about it, sadly, perhaps more in professional sport, where we hear sometimes clubs are insolvent. And, you know, in terms of a director, that, you know, it's really the law expects that the directors are proactive and is aware of the position, financial position, and certainly, you know, don't want, you shouldn't be entering into contracts that you know that you can't meet, or you don't think you can meet. You know, that's then wrongful trading. You know, that's and that then becomes, you know, an offence, and rightly, you know, the law will get involved. So, you know, in terms of thinking about, well, are we solvent? A couple of things that are often mentioned are the cash flow test. So really, do you have enough money to meet commitments as they fall due? And can you pay people you owe money to? So, you know, and thinking about, well, when are those commitments due? So maybe you've got a block booking on a pitch, or, you know, there might be a timing to when you pay, but ultimately, yeah, can you pay those commitments, whatever they are? And then the other thing is the assets test. So does what you own match what you owe? And that's a kind of realistic valuation of your assets. So, yeah, you know, there are a couple of kind of business terms, and, you know, maybe for some that's, you know, they're important, but perhaps, hopefully, not. You know, you've got decent reserves, and the amounts of money that you're dealing with, it's not too complex. But yeah, the law understandably will be tough on people if they're entering into new contracts, committing to new things that they can't ultimately afford to pay for.
So James, just to kind of recap and summarise, really, what are, in a nutshell, what are some of the regular actions that kind of club committee members or any committee member should really be doing to ensure that everything's okay?
Okay, so and we'll cover this in the next session, and we've talked about some of these in the first one too, but certainly having a budget, reviewing the budget, budgets are part of everyone's life anyway. You know, if you want to go on holiday, your budget, you know, there's family budgets. Yeah, so people should be familiar with a budget, you know, and thinking about, you know, the year ahead, or whatever period it is, the season. And then, you know, actually that gives you a benchmark in terms of what you expect the income and expenditure to be. And you know, thinking about that ahead of the year, and then reviewing how you're doing against that budget, so that you can pick up some of these problems before they get too serious. Being aware of your accounting responsibilities. So by that I mean, if you're unincorporated, there's still probably a commitment to produce some annual accounts, probably have an AGM, possibly do more, maybe share them, or a level of detail that you need to provide. As Derek said, it's worth considering, actually, you might want to go further than what your current rules say, because it might be that actually having someone to independently examine them, or even an audit, might be something you want to do, because it gives you that extra protection. It might help with other things such as your profile or going for public money. If you are incorporated, again, being aware of the responsibilities, what that means. So that will mean that there will be some form of external reporting, and you know what those accounts look like and the detail that's contained within them and the other supporting information will depend on what legal structure you are and whether you're potentially a CASC or a charity or you know, a KIC, for example. So just being aware of what that is, and even if that's something that you're not leading on, is being aware of you know what that means, because there are fines, and if you don't keep up to date, then it's obviously going to reflect badly on the club. The internal controls we've covered in a lot of detail. Work through the risks of managing money, you know, in terms of income, expenditure, assets, what could potentially go wrong, how can you mitigate those, capture those in a document, a risk register, share that with the committee, keep it up to date. You know, that's important, as I said, hopefully alongside some of the other activity around budgeting and regular reviews of cash flow and things, that you'll pick up some of those issues. But you know, some of them are simply could be that someone runs off with some money that wasn't correctly put in a day. It sounds like a lot, but you know, it may be that actually, you know, that so there is that kind of collective responsibility of the committee, but actually some of the duties and roles within this might be, you know, it could even be a paid role, or at least someone else might lead on it. But as a kind of general committee member, you know, being aware of these issues and your responsibilities and feeling confident to kind of challenge and contribute, I think is ideally where you want to get to.
Brilliant. Thanks, James. So probably just to end, really, either yourself, James, or Derek, any final top tips that you can share with our listeners today around this topic of managing your money?
Yeah, I think I mentioned one earlier about IT and how that's changed, and I just want to repeat that really, because I think that's really important that people consider that. Whilst it makes life easier, it may create some challenges for you around your control framework. I think that's one. And I think, as James said, it's really feeling, or your committee really feeling, part of this process. And when you set a budget, making sure that whatever responsibility they've got around your committee, they feel as though they've involved in setting it.
Yeah.
So you're not actually telling them, well, this is what it is. Quite like that, you're actually asking them, what do you think your budget should be for next year? And I think that's really key. So you've got buy-in from all of your committee members.
Absolutely, I second that, and it's a nice segue onto another podcast. But I think that budget, involving people, and taking time to explain and involve people in this. In making up those numbers, telling the story behind them, what the assumptions, because there's a danger where people, you know, it might not be their natural thing to look at a spreadsheet. And what you don't want to do, it's not helpful for anyone, is for that then to be something that they, you know, someone just says, well, it's not for me, because this is, as we found today, there's a degree of collective responsibility, and actually, you know, although it might look like a spreadsheet, it might look a bit scary, really it's the story of your club, you know, and how you spend your money and manage your money, and that's everyone's responsibility.
Brilliant, thanks both. And I think probably just to add on that as well, that if you are new into a treasury role or a financial role within your club, that's the whole purpose as well of these podcasts. They are there to hopefully give you some basic knowledge and information, which you can hopefully then take away and add on to from different resources, which probably leads me nicely onto any further support that is out there. I know James has alluded to the Sport England governance code, some really good information, and a section on there all around kind of basic financial controls. So if you check out sportengland.org and look for their code for sports governance document, it's a really good read, different tiers as James mentioned, but there will be a section there on financial control. And just adding into the incorporated association section, where some may be looking at special tax statuses, there are some guidances from the Charity Commission around what kind of legal obligations from a financial perspective charities will need to do. So you can check out more information on that if you are a charity or look at having special tax status for your club, and that website is www.gov.uk. And then I would search financial controls for charities, so you should be able to find that on the government website. So James, Derek, big thank you to you both again for your time today in recording our second podcast. Lots of information, lots of terminology, again really insightful to have a club's perspective as well on some of the information we're sharing today. All of the information presented will be available on a guidance document which we'll share alongside the podcast. For anyone wanting to further extend their knowledge on this topic, as I've mentioned, Sport England Code of Governance, but Sport England also have a section called Club Matters, where they've got a whole host of additional resources on club finance and club budgeting, etc. So please do check that out. As a reminder, neither James, Derek or myself work in the kind of financial industry as kind of professionals. So please do look to get any further advice you think you might need from professional services. So our next podcast next week, we'll look at the topic of introducing budget. Now, I know we've referenced budget quite a lot in the last two podcasts, and budget is probably hot on every club and league's agenda at the moment due to the current climate we find ourselves in. So a great topic to explore, looking at the main responsibilities when it comes to managing and introducing a budget. So that leads me to say big thank you to Derek and James again for your time today. Thank you for those on the podcast listening, and we look forward to welcoming you all back next week. Take care.